First, though, reports continue to emerge across the United States about the dark history of sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Will the next chapter of this story unfold across Latin America and Asia and Africa, where the Church remains relatively strong? Pope Francis certainly expects more news of sexual scandal to emerge. Next week, he convenes a major Vatican summit on how to end the sexual abuse crisis, and Catholic leaders, including Australia's Archbishop Mark Coleridge, are heading to Rome. But will the summit ever succeed? Tom Rees is a senior analyst at the Religion News Service and an expert on Vatican politics. Tom, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Before we discuss this impending summit on sexual abuse, how shocking are these admissions by the Vatican about nuns being kept in a condition, if not of slavery in the sense of being bought and sold, then basically kept in a state of sexual submission to some bishops?
What's really important here is that the Pope is talking about this publicly. In the past, when the Church got involved in sexual improprieties and things, it was keep it quiet, hush it up, sweep it under the rug, don't scandal people. The problem with that is that it disempowers the victims. It tells the victims, don't speak out. And what the Pope is doing is he's empowering victims to speak out, to say this is wrong, and to speak out so that we can find out who these criminals are and remove them from the priesthood and remove them as bishops.
I noticed that although this was the first time the Pope had addressed the issue, it wasn't the first time the issue had been revealed. Is it telling, Tom, that the issue was first revealed in an official Vatican-sanctioned magazine called Women, Church, World?
Absolutely. I mean, that would not have been published if the Pope had not wanted it to be published. He's not afraid of telling it like it is and having the facts come out. In the past, we wanted to pretend these things never happened. It's not that they're happening all the time, but the people who are affected are tremendously hurt by it. And the criminals that are involved in it, whether they're priests or bishops, need to be punished, need to be thrown out, need to be reported to the police.
Tom, given then that you are strongly supportive of what the Pope has done on this question of the nuns and sexual slavery, why are you so pessimistic about this impending summit on sexual abuse?
I'm pessimistic because I don't think it's going to solve the issues that Australians and Americans are concerned about. There's two parts to the sex abuse crisis. The one is the priests who does the abuse. At least in the United States since 2002, we've had a zero tolerance for that. Any priest who is accused of abuse is suspended, he's reported to the police, he's investigated, and if the accusation is substantiated, then he is removed from the priesthood, period. This is very important, and it needs to be done. But there's a second aspect of the crisis, and that's what do we do with the bishops who aren't with the program, who don't implement it, who don't protect children? That's the concern of Australians and Americans. I think the Pope will make very clear that he's unhappy about that, but we don't have a structure to deal with that yet. That's my concern, and I don't think they're going to come up with a structure to deal with it in 4 days. If the Pope can get up there and say he will have zero tolerance for any bishop who is not protecting children, then I will cheer and I'll say, okay. But then the next step is, okay, how do we implement that? How do we have a structure that does that? I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of talking about things that Australians and Americans have already heard, that we've been talking about in our countries for a couple decades. Now, Australia and the United States, we're not the whole church. There are other parts of the church that just don't get it at all yet. There are bishops that are in total denial. They think this is only a problem in Australia and America. And the Pope needs to hit them over the head and tell them, yes, it's a worldwide problem and you need to deal with it and don't make the same mistakes the Australians and the Americans make.
Yeah, well, that is a very important point that you've raised, because you've said that many bishops from the global south, from the Pope's home continent of Latin America, from Africa and from Asia, have long thought that this was strictly a sort of a Western or European and American crisis. Why this reluctance by the bishops of the Global South to acknowledge that this almost certainly is happening in their part of the world?
In many of these countries, culturally, it's very difficult for a victim, a survivor, to come forward. Think of Australia and the United States 40, 50 years ago. People simply would not come forward. And if they did, nobody believed them. And in very traditional cultures in Africa, Asia, Latin America, that's how people would respond to someone who comes forward. So this is why it's important for the Pope to say these things publicly and to warn the bishops, hey, maybe nobody's come forward or very few have come forward so far, but don't be fooled. In the United States, it wasn't until after the Boston Globe expose of clerical sexual abuse that thousands of victims came forward. They felt empowered to come forward. We haven't had that in the Global South yet. Mm-hmm. And that's why these bishops need to understand they got to look under the rug. They got to be proactive in looking for these cases and encouraging people to come forward.
I know that you fear that this could be a four-day talking shop, and you've written that in your columns. But there is one thing that maybe suggests that there's something solid, something concrete to deal with, and that is the summit is supposed to develop a so-called catechism, that is an official church teaching about child abuse and sexual abuse. Now, this is surely very important because it means that no longer can child abuse and sexual abuse simply be dismissed as a sin and dismissed along with a whole lot of other sins, that it has a unique and extremely serious element to it, and the church finally recognizes that in its doctrine.
Well, yes, I think you're absolutely right, and this is what the Pope has to pound into the heads of the bishops who are at this meeting, especially who are still in denial that they have this problem in their countries or that it's a serious problem. This is why it was so important that he told the bishops, before you come to Rome, sit down and listen to victims of abuse. Hear their stories. See how they have been so damaged and hurt by this abuse and how criminal and how awful it is. That's what the Pope did, and that's what changed his attitude towards abuse. And this is what every bishop in the world needs to do so that he gets it.
And yet, the Pope has not been able to diminish the resistance to the idea of a special tribunal in the Vatican that would deal with bishops who have been negligent, who have deliberately turned away from sexual abuse cases. I mean, this is what Mari Collins, one of the leading members who resigned from his advisory committee, said. You know, we had this great plan for a tribunal that would deal with these bishops who failed so fundamentally, and it was stopped within the Vatican.
Yes, and that, I think, was tragic. This Pope, I love this Pope. He's a great pastor, very pastoral. I'm not sure he's a great manager in the sense of understanding structures and organizations. I don't think he's really accomplished the reform of the Vatican Curia. You can issue policies and procedures, but you got to change the culture of an institution. I don't care if it's a college, a newspaper, a police force. You know, you can have all the rules and regulations, but until you change the culture of the institution, nothing's really going to happen. I would like to see, for example, a prosecutorial office, an attorney general in the American sense of the word, a Department of Justice in the Vatican that would investigate. If a bishop is accused of not doing his job or is accused of doing abuse himself, you know, you got a team of people you send to the diocese who investigate. They report back, and they're prosecutors, and there's a whole due process system that put the bishop on trial, and if he's guilty, you know, you punish him.
Great to talk to you as always. Tom Rees, Senior Analyst with the Religion News Service. Tom, thanks for being with us on the program.
Good to be with you, Andrew. Thanks.
And this is the Religion and Ethics Report.